Blog Talk Radio.
And it went live at exactly the O on radio. Welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us. Here we go to YouTube. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, welcome to all of our friends joining us tonight. We are glad to have you with us tonight, all over around the world, wherever you may be. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours. If all y'all will pause, I just have to revisit this update for Zoom. It's just an update.
That is why I don't allow automatic updates on my equipment.
Well, you know, there's some updates that are important. Then there's other updates that, well, you know, they're just,
wait until I'm ready.
They're just other updates. But but Jesus loves us all, even updates.
Do you guys want to hear something really horrible? I was told at the Verizon store the other day that my phone will no longer be supported after December 22nd. And I was determined I was keeping this phone until I went.
Until Jesus came.
Yeah.
You are beeping, though.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We're live on Zoom. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. We're almost live on YouTube. There we are. Good to have you guys with us tonight. Thank you for all of your faith and your love. Thank you for your partnership with us. Thank you for those of you who pray for us every single day. We can definitely tell. We've got many prayer warriors with us that are with us in faith every day. And of the greatest things that anyone could ever do is to get yourself and stand in agreement with us in the work that God's given us to do, because one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. This morning, when Brother Dutch was talking, he said they have anywhere from 150 to 225,000 people who are listening to their program every single day. When you and I put our faith in agreement with giving 15, we are literally agreeing ourselves up into the blessing of the Lord and connecting ourselves with the amazing flow of God Almighty in our lives every day. And we're glad to have you with us. This is our program that we call Establishing Your Faith. We teach on the principles of faith from the greatest book on faith, the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord, which was written by the greatest author of faith, God Almighty, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspiring the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, leading the Holy Spirit as he inspired the men and women who wrote the word of God. And you and I diligently are seeking the ways of God. Hebrews 11:6 is one of our foundation verses. And that verse says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we just speak the converse of it. And we say, with faith, possible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's amazing about our Father is that no matter what, nobody else can judge your diligent seek and search except you. And thank God you and I are walking with him and growing and developing in his love and his mercy and his grace every day. You know, when you first come to the kingdom, there's a lot to be learned. And I used to think that, well, everybody that comes to the kingdom has got to learn all of these main focused absolute points immediately, or they just won't make it. But the reality of it is, and even though that's true, and we have some very specific foundation videos that we send to people, even though that's true, the most important thing is that we help you become filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all of us. And then no matter what the preacher's preaching about, you and I are going to grow in God by the Spirit of God. And whether you're just hooking up to this or you've been with us since we started 2 years ago, it doesn't matter. You will be blessed and grow and develop in God. Now, I had to write a note real quick. Now, tonight, we've arrived here a little late. I had to go to Montana and get my pick up my semi. And I go back to work in the semi tomorrow. And then when I showed up, I had a flat tire and some other things. And it just took a little bit more time than necessary. But that's all right. It's a safe trip home, and the eagle has landed, and we're doing a good job. So I'm just going to go right to the Word of God tonight. Our focus for this week is the verses from Luke chapter 19 that says, occupy till I come. And that word occupy is what we've been studying. And then, of course, last night we taught about occupy until he comes. Happens because we're one with him and we get to receive that leadership and instruction. What's that?
Are you on YouTube?
Yes, I am. And then tonight our title is Occupy Till He Comes, One with Him, Growing in God. Aren't you glad we get to be one with him? So, we're going to start out with some really good verses about this. And then we're going to continue in some good verses about it. And then we're going to end with some good verses about this. I hear somebody barking.
That way he's hugging my leg.
He sounds like a friendly dog. If I were to guess, I would think that was a country dog.
Hmm.
Oh, she is a country dog. Sounded like she had contacted the barking change. Like, you know, like the Dalmatians did when they contacted the barking chain.
I don't know what that is.
Don't you, just bawled.
Don't you know that dogs in the evening bark all across the neighborhood to each other?
Yeah, they
that's the barking that. Chain.
They do that.
I think they're worse at gossip than the humans that live in the house. Anyways,
dogs are quiet at night.
Nobody take any spiritual depth out of what I just said at all. There was nothing deep and spiritual about it.
You are better at reading the scripture.
I'm better at reading the Bible than making jokes. Thank you, Phyllis. I appreciate it. And in the middle of it, I appreciate your great confidence in my ability to read the Bible and speak the word rather than tell jokes. And you didn't say it, but don't worry. I have not quit my day job or my night job either.
Well,
Although I think it'd be fun to do the dry comedy place, except they might not be able to handle how dry my comedy is because, of course, we live in a dry heat in a dry winter. You know, what was that? Who was it was telling us the story about the name of God? The name of God is Andy. And the mama said to the little boy, would you say that? He said, well, you guys were singing in church. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me.
And he tells me I am his own. Of course. Andy.
It's Andy. Now, I remember I had some friends once that came home from church and they said, what did you learn? They said that Jesus is chocolate.
Chocolate.
And they're like, chocolate? How did you come up with this? And they said, well, they were singing it in a song. Have a little chocolate, Jesus. You can tell him all about your sorrows.
Chocolate.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Have a little chocolate, Jesus. You know.
It's the
fun of children and growing up in church. You know, I should probably tell one more really good one. Wait, I haven't told any good jokes in a really long time. And I appreciate my son Joshua because he was so concerned about my jokes, he sent me a book that had some really good jokes in it. But I gotta tell this one because this is a very good and it's an actual Sunday school joke. It's not even an actual Sunday school joke. It's actually the truth.
All right. Let's hear it.
And now I've talked about it so much, I forgot what I was going to say.
You were going to tell us this. A joke, a real life joke.
So better than the joke is forgetting it.
You'll think better, honey.
I think that's too funny. Just, hey, goodness sakes alive. Well, you know, when it comes to church funnies, there's a bunch of them. And the reality of it is they're funny because they're actually real. They're actually usually somebody got really embarrassed. I remember one time in our church growing up, a young lady was being sort of rebellious during the church service. Not that any other children ever were. My mom, if you're listening, Mom, thank you. But my mom could clear her throat on the front pew in the right side of the church, and I could be sitting in the back seat on the left side, and I would straighten up immediately when my mom cleared her throat. She didn't even have to look. She just had to clear her throat. I was coming to attention immediately. But this one person was having trouble one day just being a good kid in church, and the mom kept saying, I'm going to take you out. And I'm going to wear you out. And she pushed her a little farther and she said, I'm going to take you out and wear you out. And she pushed her a little farther and she said, that's it. And grabbed her by the arm. And the little girl said, oh, somebody please pray for me. Help this girl. Help this girl. Help. As she went out the door to get her hind end tanned.
Oh, that was crap, soldier. Oh, my God. Pray for me. Oh, my goodness.
I remember one night, but I don't know what happened, but my brother Joe and I were sitting next to each other.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, my mom and dad allowed us to be kids. Kids are going to be kids, you know. But there was a point.
What was that point?
Where my dad would stop preaching and he would say, you know, whichever one of us, you come up here and sit between Brother and Sister Huff. Brother and Sister Huff were like old. I mean, he fought in World War I. And he was a goat farmer. And he even smelled like he was a goat farmer at church. And they slept and snored during church because they were old. They were like 90 years old. Anyways.
Wow.
And I remember one day, I don't know what happened, but Joe said something or I said something. And yeah, how you get that one tickle that you just, you're not going to stop laughing.
Laughing, yes. And the harder you try, the worse it gets.
Oh, and the harder you try, the more you snort.
Yeah.
And you poof off.
Oh.
And my dad says, boys, oh, and then that, you know, that now you know you're in trouble. But it doesn't matter. It was so funny that you're now holding another one in. And your whole body is shaking, and then the whole pew is shaking, and everybody around is like, I sure wish we knew what he was laughing about, because we would laugh about it too. And then he said, Joe, come up and sit between Brother and Sister Huff. And you know what? The laughter stopped. That was the end. That was the end. It's amazing how, like, somebody that's drunk can become sober, like, real quick. People who were hysterically laughing became, now you have the severity of judgment that's about to fall, and it's like, it's no longer laughing. Now, for those of you who might be joining us and saying, what in the world does this have to do with tonight's lesson? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it's better than telling blonde jokes. It's a whole lot better than telling blonde jokes. And, you know, just for the sake of and honor of my son, I thought I'd just...
Oh, the bad dad joke.
I just thought I'd leave you one bad dad joke, all right?
Oh, no.
They've heard it before. Oh,
what?
No.
What's German for an unexpected pregnancy?
Wow, Rebecca, you really good at guessing these. What is it?
Kinder supplies. Kinder surprise.
Oh. I don't get it.
Now, just so you know, I did not plan to do this at all tonight. I really have a good word to preach, but so my. My son tied his first tie today. I looked at him and told him, not bad, son. Not, you know, K-N-O-T, not bad.
Oh, I think you could do better than that one. Let's hear a better one.
I don't get it.
Take it a little farther.
A man tried to sell me a coffin today. I told him that's the last thing I need.
Okay, that was funny.
Did the coat go to the bank?
Why?
To get his quarterback. What happens if you throw a green rock into the Red Sea?
It turns purple, yellow.
What current Sunday?
I said purple, but that's wrong.
Oh.
It gets wet.
That is one of the dumbest jokes I've ever heard. Oh, Lord.
It's time for the reading of the word. Phyllis, look, there's words on this page. I'm reading words, all right?
They're pretty bad.
Oh, my.
You got the wrong book,
Dave. Oh, I grabbed the wrong book. I've grabbed the wrong book.
B-I-B-L-E. Oh. Is that the book for me? I stand alone on the word of God, the idea.
Okay, I got one more, just one more. If you see a robbery at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness?
Oh, my goodness. Everything else is eye something.
All right. So, how do you recover from that, but except just pause, pray, and then preach? That's a Baptist message right there. Pause, pray, and preach. That'll preach in itself. Somebody write a poem for the end. Pause, pray, and preach. God's always within your reach.
There you go.
You can pray every day, or you can stand and say, I'm glad I heard you preach. All right, it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on tonight? Jesus, help me.
It's a good thing this is not a comedy show. We'd be in trouble. They'd be throwing rotten tomatoes at you.
You know, was it Sinbad, the comedian? No, it was the Christian comedian guy that they said, you need to show up here tonight and do your routine. And a big old long story. What's the guy's name? Michael Jr. Michael J.R.
Yeah.
Story behind that man's life. And look how he uses comedy to help us and instruct us. Here we go. Occupy till he comes, one with him, growing in God. That's a good title. Isn't that a good title?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read some verses of scripture. And then I'm going to show you this definition of the word occupy. And then I'll preach a little bit. We should be able to get all that done in the next 28 minutes.
All right.
All things are possible to them that believe. Are you a believer?
Yes, I am.
See?
I live by faith, too.
If none of the rest of you were with me, Sister Sunday didn't let me down. She's like, I believe you can do it, Ben.
I pray for you all the time, sir. Me too. And I'm glad.
Wait. And we're glad you pray for us all the time. Amen. So, here we go. Luke chapter 19. Let's go there first. And then we'll go to 1 John chapter 3. Luke chapter 19. 1 John chapter 3. And then we're going to go to John chapter 15. Don't worry. We're going to get it all done in 28 minutes. Luke chapter 19. Now, usually I would just read what I'm talking about, but I want to read this chapter down through verse 27. Luke 19. Pause, pray, and preach. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit ourselves to you tonight and to the Word of God. We declare the Word of God comes alive to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and your written word. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody shout a big amen. Where are you, Roger? Where's Roger?
Amen.
Big amen. That's all right. You guys always cover for each other. So.
Did you send him?
I did not. No. Oh, my goodness. Luke 19. I think I should just keep telling jokes, really. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho.
The whole chapter?
Luke 19, 1 through 27. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. I want you to see this story in the parable of the minas. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a wee little man, short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was in the tree, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Do you think Jesus made a habit of looking up into the trees? I don't believe he did. I believe it was a gift of the Spirit. The Father's like, there's somebody that's seeking you. Why? Because the Father rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, not every one of you need to climb a tree in order for God to see that you're serious. But some of you, that might help. Just, if you're going to climb a tree, don't fall out. Make sure you know what you're doing. So he made haste and came down, received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Did you notice that Jesus didn't tell him to go sell everything he had and give to the poor?
He did not.
Jesus said that to how many people?
One
that we have record of, the rich young ruler. Jesus didn't even say that to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Bartholomew, the 12 disciples. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The church is the one that's told us we got to be broke in order to be holy. That's just not true. God said, I've given you the power to create wealth. Why? So that you can help me establish my covenant in the earth. The gospel is supposed to be visible for everyone to see. Now, isn't it something that we go from that story right into the parable of the minas? A rich tax collector who, you know, in that day has, if you allow me to use a fancy word, absconded a bunch of money from people that didn't belong to him. So now Jesus said, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's what Jesus did, went to a far country, heaven, a nation of its own, to receive a kingdom. He received it, and he will return to establish that kingdom on this earth.
Lord.
You and I will reign with him for 1,000 years. He will reign with an iron rod, and you and I will reign with him as kings and priests. We already have been made kings and priests. We're having Sister Phyllis read that verse to us every night for our closing verses. Let's keep reading. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. The King James is the one that says, occupy till I come. Citizens hated him. Sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it was in return, having received the kingdom. He then commanded those servants to whom he'd given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He was expecting them to trade and profit. Then came the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. He said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in little, have authority over 10 cities. 10 cities. But wait, remember, God gives every one of us a gift, and it's according to our own several ability. So what God has placed inside of you and you have in desire of your heart to do, you find yourself talking about it. That is a gift. That is an ability that God put on the inside of you. And on the other side, he's going to ask you what you did with it. Now, you might say, Pastor, I'm kind of a few years behind having done anything with this gift. I know. So my recommendation to you is right now, find somebody that is doing what it is that you see, because there will be somebody on this earth doing it, more than likely. And sow financial seed into that person and sow a prayer seed into them and begin to pray for them to be able to accomplish it. And then say, Lord, help me see how I can do the very same thing. It's very interesting what's going through my mind while I'm saying this. Drilling water wells.
Oh, yeah.
Now, maybe it's because that guy in West France that put the roof on the house was in water. That's what he did. He went to Africa and dug. He didn't drill. He dug water wells by hand.
Wow.
He paid the Africans to dig a 4-foot by 4-foot hole deep until they hit water. And he said the deepest one he ever had was 85 feet.
Goodness.
And they would dig and then put it in a 5-gallon bucket, and then they would take it all the way up by a rope up on a tripod, and then they would dump it out, and then they would.
Wow.
Then got water. And then the village, then the whole village had crystal clear drinking, pure drinking water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, he said, you've been faithful over very little. Have authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. He said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Another came saying, master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and you reap what you did not sow. That violates the system of the world. That's a wicked man. That's not our God. He said to him, out of your own mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, to take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10. They said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. And Jesus said, I say to you, to everyone who has, more will be given. And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Now, you and I can see that as the end of the world, that God's going to send them into eternal damnation. Because they did not want Jesus to reign over them. And you and I can put this in a practical application in our life. Now watch this. So you got Zacchaeus, who God didn't say give up everything. And then you have God giving you a talent, which is a measure of money. These people were given a measure of money to trade. But God's got a problem with you, and he expected them to go and make profit. Mm-hmm. Well, do you see what the next story is? The triumphal entry. And when he said this, he went out into Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives and told the disciples, I need a donkey that's never been ridden on because I got to fulfill that prophecy. Go in there and you'll find a donkey tied to a house and bring that donkey here. And then they say something to you, tell them the master needs it and they'll send it. Now, we just saw a very interesting chapter of financial things from God through Jesus. Think about this. Here's a tax collector who stole from people, and yet Jesus loved him. And he willingly said, I'll give it all back. Four times if I stole it. Then the parable of the mina where Jesus said, I want you to occupy until I come. Now, I want to show you that real quick. And I haven't completely deserted the thought of 28 minutes, but it is a little farther away than when we first began. Now watch this. I'm going to share this screen so you can see this. Show you this study. Share. Watch this. Whoops. Share. Can you see the screen? The words and the numbers?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
And you can see in verse 13 here, he's giving us the word occupy till I come. If you click on that G, 4231, it brings up the word pragmatioame. 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 To busy oneself with trade. To busy oneself with trade. Now, when you go down, that's the Strong's definition. When you go down to the Thayer definition, that's just, you can see it on the bottom of that same screen. To be occupied in anything. But then look what it says. To carry on a business, to carry on the business of a banker or a trader. This is the word that Jesus used when he was teaching. Now, people are like, well, Pastor, we all know what the word occupy is. Well, that's true. You do. But you got to remember that the New Testament was written in the Greek.
Right.
And so if you don't go to the Greek, our Daniel Webster dictionary of 1736 is probably not going to be the same word and the same definition as what you're going to get right here. And now watch this. In my Bible, it says, whoops, where'd it go? In verse 15, it says that you are supposed to be doing this. Every man had gained by trading. So now when you look at this, it's the same word with the suffix the prefix dia on it. To thoroughly occupy oneself, that is, transitively and by implication, to earn in business and gain by trading. That's exactly what Jesus said to them, and it is exactly what he was expecting from them. Thoroughly, earnestly, to undertake a business for the sake of gain. Now, you can see down here that there was another word from the Thayers, and I clicked on it, and I've lost my place, but don't worry about it. It's right here. To gain by trading. Now, what is the purpose of why I just showed you this? Because you and I might look at ourselves and say, well, Pastor, we have Sister Phyllis and my mom, wonderful senior citizens that are with us. And they're probably not going to look at necessarily setting up a business at this point in their life. Although we would all buy from you, Phyllis and mom. So whatever it is, build a good website so we can all come and be a part of your business with you on the web. So they may not be doing that. But when you look at what this parable is teaching, it is very much teaching about doing business, trading, making profit, making increase. Now, of course, naturally, it is about, you can very definitely, very, very definitely, you can look at this and say, wait a minute, Jesus is most definitely expecting you and I to be a producer and to be a valuable part of being a blessing to other people. Now, let's read this verse. It's not in my notes, but let's just grab it real quick. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Can I get an I love the word from anybody?
I love the word.
Amen. I love the word. Watch this. Let's read Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. God's not telling you to become a walk around saying, I'm just a worm, I'm a wretched worm. But let one, each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So God is wanting you to have your own testimony. Amen? He wants you to do things yourself that you can accomplish. And to every one of us, a gift has been given that can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Let him who's taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. Is not mocked. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Why don't you say it with me? I know I'm reaping what I've been a sowing. Whoops, I forgot to take it off share, didn't I? That better?
Yes.
All right.
I didn't hear what you just said.
What I'm saying is, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. And many times when a preacher looks at people and says, hey, if you don't like what you're reaping, see what it is you're sowing. People get offended by that, but don't be offended. Just wake up and say, wait, let me take a look at what I'm reaping. Well, I don't know. And you might not do this. I do this regularly. I look around and say, what am I reaping? And why am I reaping this? I've looked at periods of times where there didn't seem to be any harvest or any flow and said, now, wait a minute, where in my life did I sow that? Because God said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Because I ain't never going to sow another period of my life of no seed in the ground. Because I'm not going another period of my life without a harvest coming back to me. And in the kingdom of God, you can be in harvest time year-round if you just continually are in sowing year-round. You know, you're one of the best coffee makers there is.
Thank you.
Verse 8. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Goodness sakes. I lost my 28 minutes a few minutes ago.
Oh, you did.
He who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, look at this verse. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially, preach it, sister, preach it. You might as well. You started. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, that's why God wants you to prosper. 2 John, 3 John 2. Wish above all things, beloved, that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That's why Jesus said with the parable of the mine, is this what the kingdom of heaven is like? So when we get to heaven, we're going to be judged by that. By that set of teachings, because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. You and I can stand before Jesus and say, I didn't know nothing about it. And he's going to say, did you have a Bible? Did you study it? Did you grow in God? Watch this. Therefore, is that we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Well, if you were faithful over your 10 minus and God makes you ruler over 10 cities, guess what? You can do an awful lot of good to the household of faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Go with me now to 3 John, not the chapter. Go with me to 1 John 2. And let's read verses 21. No, I apologize. 20 through 29. Here we go. I'll be done in 28 minutes.
All right.
But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Say it. I have an anointing.
I have an anointing.
That anointing causes you to know all things. Because you got a good thinker? No. Because you know the anointing. And he knows it all. Watch. We sat down with Rivers when we were at Living Word in Midland. And he's telling us about a donut invention he's going to create.
Oh, yeah.
He can't even see with his eyes, and he's got this donut machine created. Just makes you say, what is wrong with me, Jesus?
Yeah, if there's anyone that can make you feel like a chump, Rivers can.
21, I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Whoever is a liar, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is anti-Christ, who denies the Father and Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. These are some more verses that match John chapter 17. One with him. This is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him, notice that's verse 20 and verse 27, abides in you. Say it with me, the anointing abides in me. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in him. Well, what's the anointing? Power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God in your life. So we have been given anointing at the new birth. And what is it? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. If you say, Holy Spirit, come in and fill me. That anointing comes upon you. That anointing is on the inside of you. The word anoint actually means to rub with oil into dry cracks and make it lubricated. Picture of a person with dry, cracking hands, and they put some lotion on and they begin to massage the oil in, and the cracks are beginning to go away because they become lubricated, or whatever the right word is, moisturized. See, here's Jesus. He gets Zacchaeus born again, tells the parable of a talent, sends his disciples to get a donkey that just walk up and take a donkey and tell them Jesus needs it. I mean, this is a very interesting set of financial situations. And now here in this verse, these verses here in 1 John 2, we're learning there's an anointing on the inside of us, and that anointing on the inside is leading every one of us to do whatever we're supposed to be doing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Say with me, I have a supply that God is counting on me to bring to this body. He is. But see, that's not just money. I don't want you to be confused about that, because that's what a lot of people say. When you use the word supply, it's money. But it is money. And that's why Jesus taught the parable of the mina, so that you and I would realize he's expecting us to take what we have and put it into a place where it can grow and magnify and multiply. I mean, if you think about it, if you just start sowing seed into the kingdom of God, that's where in the world can you get 30, 60, and 100 fold out of every seed you ever sow? You can't get that anywhere. But you can in the kingdom. It doesn't matter if the seed you have to sow is $1. If you take that $1 and sow it in faith, it won't be long. That $1 will begin to have 10. And if you take that 10 and sow it, like Brother Jesse taught us the other day when we were studying with him, when we were at the conference, he said, you know, do you know what realizes what do you realize what happens when you sow a harvest?
Get an orchard.
You get an orchard. Well, I got a word for you. I want to have an orchard.
Amen.
You know what happens when you sow an orchard?
You get a whole fruit market.
You probably get a whole plantation or...
Oh, yeah. Bunch of orchards.
See, God's whole kingdom is set up this way. By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, look at this, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When you think about it, God is wanting to use you to grow this place and help this place be established. Yeah, you. And it'll be by your faith. It'll be by your prayers. It'll be by your confession from your mouth. It'll be financial seed that you sow. But here's the reality. No matter what it is you're doing, that will grow. That will develop. That will become magnified. Your dollar will turn to 10. Your faith words will not just move a mountain. It'll move a big one. Your prayers will not just be you speaking words that don't ever seem to come to an end. You're going to speak life, and people are going to be like, wow, you just spoke that, and it became in my life. Why? Because you're learning to use the gifts, the talents, the abilities, and everything that God has put on the inside of you to become that joint in this body that is bringing supply. Now, I know preachers everywhere want you to bring them $1,000. I want you to bring me $1,000. But I ain't taking no offering tonight. Let me say it differently. I'll receive any offering you send, but I didn't come here for the purpose of saying an offering, because it's so much bigger than a dollar bill leaving your hand. When you start thinking about that parable of the mina, and we're all going to give an account of that, that means God's going to look at us and say, did you take what you had in your hand and produce something? Even if it's a dollar sown consecutively will turn into a 10. You know, and I'm just using it as a step process. But your dollar might turn into 100. Why? Because you sowed it in faith, in love, and in obedience to what he told you to do. But so is your words. It's like every one of you that's been here since the beginning with us, you have seed in the ground that most churches never ever get to have. Because you came here every night faithfully and sowed your time, sowed your talent, gave your amens, typed in comments, and have been a part about making this church what it is. Think about this. You are literally the foundation of this ministry, the community of faith, Everything that ever happens in this ministry with anybody around the world has been accredited to your account because you're here and faithfully sowing. That ought to make you pretty happy, and you might even jump and shout just a little.
Woo, woo. Glory.
Woo, woo. Woo, woo. Now watch. Let's go see it real quick. Okay, where are we going in Romans?
8:11.
Romans 8:11. All right, Sister Leanne wants to go to Romans 8:11, so we'll pause for a minute. And I won't be charged for this 3 minutes that she preaches. I still have 25 more to go. Romans 8:11. But since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. But remember, it's not just life and health and strength in your body. It is wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and leadership that's happening from the inside out. Go with me to the book of Well, I was going to the Gospels. Oh, Mark chapter 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Mark chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Mark chapter 10. These pages are turning slow.
Has anyone heard from Kathy?
Kathy has been, I didn't see her on here today, but I've been I said some things on Facebook to her.
Okay.
We speak over Matt's hand, no matter what the cut was. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are healed, healthy, and whole, and you lose no use of it. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hold on. Let me do this. There we go. So now I'm in John 10. No, no. Mark 10, 27 through 30. Jesus looked at him and said, with men this is possible, not with God. For with God all things are possible. Peter began to say to him, see, we've left all and followed you. Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands for my sake and the gospel's. Let me say it differently. Everyone, I don't like that no one, because everyone who does that will receive a hundredfold return. Now, in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecution, in the age to come, eternal life. See, God is pretty serious about reward, producing, and abundance. Let's look at another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, chapter 8 and chapter 9, those two chapters in 2 Corinthians are two chapters where Paul talks for the whole two chapters about sowing a financial seed and taking care of someone else who is in need. But it's not just give us money. It is here's your faith, here's your words, here's your confession, that what you began to do, get it done. And then we get over to 2 Corinthians 9, and we get to verse 6. Now, this matches Galatians chapter 6. He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Well, I want you to see something. If you're on a fixed income, let's say you get $700 a month, that ain't much money in the day we live. So your tithe is 70. A $10 seed is a pretty good sized seed that you would sow. Yeah. But listen, a $1 seed sown consecutively every week for a period of 52 weeks in a row because you're serious about it causes God to say, watch that $1. Somebody make it work. Go it. Make it grow. He who sows bountifully. I heard a rich man the other day bragging that he gives his church $100,000 a year.
Wow.
But he's worth $50 million.
Oh.
Now, in the eyes of the people, whoa. But in the eyes of God, you didn't even tip him. You didn't do anything. Purpose of what I'm saying tonight is to help us see, wait, I have a gift. I have a mind. I have a talent. I have an ability. I have an accountability and a stewardship when I get to the other side and look at Jesus and say, Jesus, look what I did. And then what is he going to say? That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is what he's going to say. Let's go look at it. It's important that we continually remind ourselves of this because we're like, wait a minute, let's get a reality check here. It don't matter what the end times does. It doesn't matter what the economy does. Who cares what Biden, the Democrats, or the Republicans, or anybody else does? Wait, I care what all of them do, but I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be what this Bible says I'm going to be no matter what, and I'm going to do it straight to the end, and God's going to bless me all the way to the end.
Amen.
And the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow, laboring toil to it. First Corinthians 3:12-17. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. The day of judgment will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Now watch this. Pastor, why in the world are you teaching this? Because it's important for you and I to realize when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, bring forth your works. And there's a whole lot of Christians that's going to be going, and he'll say, no, this isn't the Flintstones. Bring forth your works. What I love about this body of believers we call community of faith, all y'all got works. All of you got works. Then a person that's following this ministry very closely at all, even those of you that we don't ever really see or name, but you're there all the time, you got works. Why? Because you're here and you're using your faith and you're praying and saying, God bless Pastor Sam. God bless the community of faith. Help us be faithful. Help me, Jesus, do my part. And you're in the background praying, and those are the most valuable prayers. So when we get to heaven, some of you think, if I can just slide in through the gate, it doesn't matter if my butt cheeks are on fire or not. But you don't want that. You want to go marching in through that gate with works that are glorifying God. And the reality is, if you understand who you are in God, you'll be grabbing every person around you all the way to heaven saying, no, no, come on, let's get an understanding of God. That's why I always lead people in the prayer of salvation every single night. Some people don't like how long I take, but it doesn't matter what they like, because it's not about them who don't like it. It's about the ones who need it. Keep reading. I'm in verse 13. For the day will declare, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So Paul is teaching several principles right here, but I really like this message that he's teaching us, and that is by the Holy Spirit. I guess I should say the Holy Spirit is teaching us. I don't guess. I know. The Holy Spirit is teaching us because he's saying, come on, there's a day of reckoning coming. When you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you can see it on this side of glory, and you can begin to work to put something in your account that will continually produce lives and produce souls. All of you who come here on a regular basis are faithful sowers, and your harvest is so immense in heaven. That's why I begin to teach us all to say, I received my 100-fold return, because every one of us in this group have a 100-fold return. Our theme verse for the year is, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every singular person, every man, according to his work, not somebody else's. I want to encourage you to do this. Now, you might say, Pastor, this is all new to me. I know. And the wonderful, majestic part of God's holy word is that as soon as it's new and it's revelation to you, then give yourself to study that whole process over and over. I have given a serious amount of verses tonight that establishes this doctrine in the New Testament and shows you the importance of it. You got the whole chapter of Luke 19. You got Galatians 6, 1 through 10. That's 37 verses. 1 John 2, that's another 9. We're at 48 verses. Ephesians 4, 16, 49, 53. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 9, that's 6 through 15. I've given you about 80 verses tonight that substantiate the importance of you and I coming to the understanding that until Jesus comes, we not only got to occupy, but we got to continually sow a seed like you and I are doing right here, right now, at this very moment, blessing these people who are studying and listening with us. Can I get an amen? Okay, my 28 minutes are almost up, and I got a couple more verses to read. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1 Peter 1, 2 through 11. Brother Roger, I can't hear you. Four more hours. All right, here we go. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Not may you see it, may it be multiplied to you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness. Life is occupy till I come. Godliness is making sure you've received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, what did Jesus say in John 17? The glory I have received, I have given to them who are called into this glory and virtue. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. We get to be partakers of the divine nature. And that causes us to escape this, the things of this world. Well, then verse 5 says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge self-control, add to self-control perseverance, add to perseverance godliness, add to godliness brotherly kindness, add to brotherly kindness. For if these things are in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Say it with me. I'm growing in God.
I'm growing in God.
Verse 10, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not too bad for 28 minutes, is it? Okay, 28 minutes times two.
Right.
Isn't it something what you can see in God's holy word? If you're looking, isn't it something what you don't see in God's holy word if you're not looking?
If you're not looking, right.
You gotta be looking. Now, I got one more I want to refer to. Where's that verse? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 10. No.
Hosea
4:6. Hosea 4:6. It's right by Isaiah. They sound they sound alike. What is it in Isaiah chapter 28? It says, precept will be upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And then it says, that you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear it, and they fell backward, and they were broken. Hosea, Joel, Amos. I think it's pretty cool that we've read so much of these Old Testament prophets that the verses I once knew and was solid about where they are, I got so many verses now, I'm like, whoa, look at this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you've rejected knowledge. Many of you, most of you that are with us, reject knowledge.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to be condemned by this. I will also reject you from being priests because you have forgotten the law of your God. I'll also forget your children. And then the more they increase, the more they sin against me, I will change their glory into shame. But that's not you who are with us. And I want you to know that any of you who are catching this message today, tomorrow, or during the tribulation, you may have missed the rapture. That's a horrible thought.
Oh, my goodness.
If you did, know this. The Holy Spirit is still there, and he's helping you. You got to break off condemnation from your life instantly. Don't allow another thought of it to come. You got to give every waking moment to help everybody around you make the decision for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, what am I going to do if they kill me? You'll come to heaven. Either way, you're going to have eternity with the Father.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't want to miss. Because do you notice how bad it is right now with all of us Christians gone?
Well, that's still here.
Wait. I'm speaking to you right now that are seeing this after the rapture happened. Notice how bad the world is with all of us gone? What heaven and hell is all about. Heaven is all of God. Hell is the absence of anything that's God. So no matter what's going on around you, you got to give your life to God and do it right now. And get everyone around you to get born again, and let's make a huge harvest in the end times. Now, I'm not there with you if this is during the tribulation, but I personally believe that if you'll be a firebrand witness to Jesus, God will empower you, protect you, keep you safe. The angels will surround you and protect you, and he'll make you a powerful witness for him every day, until day number 1260, when the rapture happens again and he catches away those who have been born again. Before the last half of the tribulation comes, it's going to be, you're suffering now, but it's going to be horrendous. And get yourself right with God. It's very interesting that I'm saying these things. But it's so important. It's so important. Well, do we need one more verse to close it all up? My wife's looking at me like, do you realize I've already got the verse list made? 3 John 2.
Still edible.
I wish above all things, beloved, that you prosper. It was the first one or something. Be in health. As your soul prospers. Yes, he's talking about money. Yes, he's talking about perfect health. He's talking about you and I growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we thank you for this word. Thank you that it's not hidden from us, but hidden for us. Thank you that you are not keeping us in the darkness. You have filled us with your glorious light. Thank you that we don't have to wonder what your will is for our life, that you will paint it to us on a beautiful canvas of our life. Thank you that you want every one of us to produce for you. Some will produce millions, maybe even billions. Others may never produce it. But there's not a one that you would ever discriminate against. It's your plan in their life, and you're both working to do and will of your good pleasure in their life. You said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And we thank you for it. I bless every one of these people that are in attendance today. Bless them with strength and peace and power and light and revelation and understanding in Jesus. May this word come alive on the inside of us. We can reach this world before you come and catch us away in the rapture. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 I'm getting more and more determined every day to create a series, What Do I Do If I Miss the Rapture? I don't like the sounds of that because that means there's going to be some people that miss the rapture, and I don't want anybody to miss the rapture.
Right.
So don't think just because I'm preaching a message that after you miss the rapture, you can get it, you can still get into heaven, that it's just a good thing to do and I can just enjoy myself and I'll miss the rapture. What if you die when the rapture happens and you don't know God? You don't want that. You want to be ready right now.
Amen.
Some of you are like, Abbott Pastor, I've sinned since I was a child. I knew God as a child, but now I've sinned and I'm so far away from him. No, you're not. You may have broken fellowship with him, but you're still his child. He still loves you. He didn't throw you out. Only you and the Father knows what caused you to have the distance between you. And I guarantee you this, he doesn't want any distance. And that's not a church. That's not a denomination. That's not a religion. That's just you and him talking every single day. And he's leading you.
Amen.
You're not as far away as what you thought you were. In Jesus' name. Well, it is time for us to receive our communion elements. And we want all of you who are with us to receive these communion elements with us. Now, you might say, I'm not part of your church, so I can't receive communion with you. And we will always say, oh, yes, you can. Read the Bible for what it actually says. Thank God for your pastor and all the people that surround you. But if they're telling you that you can only receive communion with a certain few people, they don't actually really believe that, but that's what your church doctrine says, so they teach it. But it's not true. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you can receive the communion elements anytime they're served. And I encourage you to do it every day right in your home. Here we go. This is how it's going to work. I'm going to read the communion verses, lead you in the prayer of salvation, give you 2 minutes of instruction, bless the elements, and then we'll receive them. Here's the word of God on communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. as often as you drink it. Drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, his leadership of the church, till he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. This is the whole process. Let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Whether that's someone on earth judging you, whether that's you judging yourself, or whether you're in that judgment on the other side when Jesus is judging us. You get to have boldness. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Say it with me. Trauma, get out of my life.
Trauma, get out of my life.
Forever.
Forever.
Whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
They are. And I am free indeed.
Amen.
And just like that, you're a child of God. You ready? Pray the prayer of salvation. It takes 2 minutes. You'll be right with God. No matter who you are, if you pray this prayer from the depths of your heart, no matter what's gone on, no matter what's ever happened, you'll be right with God if you say this from the depths of your heart. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of
Father,
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16,
when I
believe
in you,
Lord, you give me everlasting life,
and I will not perish.
Now, here's your chance to make your declaration. We'll be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. All of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all of the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, you might say, wow, well, if you meant that from the depths of your heart, you're experiencing God filling you right now. And you're going to be like, wow, what's going on? God Almighty's filling you. You just said to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, come and live in me. So they did. He's more willing to come and live inside you than you even were to ask. That's why I lead us in the prayer that says, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because since he's more willing to give it to you than you are to ask, I might as well teach you to ask.
Amen.
Amen? All of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled you. You might be like, well, but Pastor, what's left if I'm filled? Not much. If you're full of God, what's left except to be full of God? And He adopted you into the family. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. And think about it. All of that happened in a two-minute prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's more willing to come into your life than you are to even ask him to. He's been knocking at the door for a long time. And you just entered. You just said, enter. And he came in. Now, what's your responsibility? Walk with God every day. When you're laying there in your bed in the morning and you wake up and you're looking at the ceiling, that's the best time to say, Father, help me walk with you today. When you lay down at night and your day's all done, that's when you should say, Father, thank you for helping me walk with you today. Wait, how did I do? What? Because as soon as you ask that question, he'll help you know how you did. If you had a bad attitude, if you ran your lips when you weren't supposed to be running your lips, then he's going to say it to you, and it's going to give you the opportunity to say, all right, what do I got to do to fix that? He'll tell you, and you go fix it. And then you just walk with him. It's just simple. It's a wonderful life as a believer. Sometimes it's really difficult as a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to be a believer. That's right. Because the word Christian is taken on so many different connotations that most people would say, well, who even knows what a real Christian is? I don't know. But I know who a believer is. And that's somebody who says, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. Welcome to the family. My email address and website is right down there. And all you got to do is click on that. You can send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, I found God today. I just came into the kingdom. I want to hear from you. If there's 10,000 of you, send me an email all the same day. We will love it. And we got a lot of people here that can answer emails, and I'll just keep handing them out. Sister Phyllis, you got Charlie, Bill, Dan, Becky, Steve, and Mary. Send them a message. Tell them we love them and how to help them. Because that's our place, is to help you walk with God. Jesus, mighty name. You ready? Is that 2 minutes or 28? Grab your communion elements, hold them up, we'll bless them, and we'll receive communion together. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know.
So I bless and sanctify these elements. For this time of communion with you. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for all of my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed forever. According to the holy living word of God. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint is supplying in my body. From Jesus' broken body. In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith.
And right here,
in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus'
mighty name.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Body.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with the Father.
By the
the blood and Jesus,
man, isn't that a wonderful thought? By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus,
I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. And there is no more condemnation in my life.
No more condemnation in my life.
Woo! My conscience is my robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. The glorious church without any blemish. And you will come and get me.
And you will
come and come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Blood of Christ.
The blood of Jesus. Now, tonight, let's sing Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free.
I love it. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. We got quite a choir tonight. We got Brother Dan in New Mexico, Sister Phyllis and Luz Anna. We got Sister Rebecca in Lansing, Michigan, and Leanne and I in North. That's quite a choir.
Every end of the country.
Every end of the country. We just needed you, Kathy Angaroni, in North Carolina, to kind of make that point.
Yeah.
We miss you. We love you. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, got our closing verses of
Jude 20 through 25.
Yes, ma'am.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And I'd also like to read Revelations 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, full witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And amen. And amen. Now, let me say one more thing about that. He said he is able to keep you from stumbling. If you're walking with the Father every day, you're not going to stumble. You ever walk with your dad anywhere? If you start to stumble, what did he do? He grabbed you. Why? That's what the dad does. And that's what our Father is doing for every one of us.
Amen.
Every day. No matter if you've been a believer for one day or one decade, say it. Help me walk with you today, Almighty God. Lift your hands to heaven. Make this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
Into this ministry on purpose.
In this ministry on purpose.
Receive my seed I have sown tonight. And I receive the hundredfold return that you have designed for me. Because of my obedience to your word. Help me use it to preach the gospel right here, right now, today.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Glory with a big old kick.
Glory be to God and a big old kick. In Jesus' mighty name. That's all we got for right now. In a couple minutes, we'll be live again for Read the Word for tomorrow. And then 8 a.m. in the morning, Sister Leanne will be here kicking it. I'll be out in the prairie kicking it. I'll be catching up with you somewhere there. And we're just kicking this thing right in gear and going wide open for the things of God. I know Sister Leanne, appreciate your presence and help with her. It's a blessing every time you guys are with us, if you can be. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. To all of our friends on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for joining with us. Wherever you are around the world, remember, send me an email with some pictures in it because we want to know who you are. Sister Sunday, all of our beloved friends on YouTube, we bless you. Those of you on YouTube that I don't see, let me know so I can see who you are. I saw Brother James Denny's been watching. Love you, brother. Any way we can bless you, we can. Brother Ken Brumbaugh's been watching. A lot of our truck driving friends have been watching and been a part of this wonderful program. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. See you again. Remember this.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus will always be Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
God bless you all. And God bless your community.